We normally are in John's Gospel on Sunday mornings. We've been there for quite some time now, but we're going to take a pause and step back for just a moment. And since it is the Thanksgiving weekend, I wanted to start this part of the holidays off with a text and a passage from a psalm that addresses praise and thanksgiving. And then we'll continue into the month of December as we've done in the past, looking at the birth of Christ and the coming of Christ. So for today, we're in Psalm chapter 136, Psalm 136, and we're going to do something a little different this morning. I've got a microphone here so we can make sure we pick everybody up. Jeff, is that mic on number 12? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. If you're not able, I understand that, but if you're able to please stand together, and we're going to read this psalm as the Jewish people would have read it under the leadership as the psalm was written. There seems to be a stanza, Cecil, and then a chorus. The chorus is, "For His mercy endures forever." And most historians believe this is the way it was sung, but we're going to read it. But the leader would stand and read the first part of the verse. They didn't have verses, but the first stanza, and then the chorus, the people would echo as he read the stanza. So I'm going to ask you to do that this morning. We'll read this entire psalm together, Psalm 136. I'll read the first part of the verse, and you as a congregation read the second part of the verse as loud as your voices can to give praise and glory to the true God that we serve. Psalm 136, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For His mercy endures
forever. To Him who alone does great wonders.
For His mercy endures
forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens.
For His mercy endures
forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters.
For His mercy endures
forever. To Him who made great lights.
For His mercy endures forever.
The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn.
For His mercy endures forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For His mercy endures forever.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For His mercy endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him who led His people through the wilderness.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him who struck down great kings.
For His mercy endures forever.
And slew famous kings.
For His mercy endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For His mercy endures forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan.
And
gave their land as a heritage.
For His mercy endures
forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant.
For His mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowly state.
For His mercy endures
and rescued us from our enemies.
For His mercy endures
who gives food to all flesh.
For His mercy endures
oh, give thanks to the God of heaven.
For His mercy endures
let's pray together. Oh God, the sentiment of our heart is in this psalm this morning. And I pray for every person here today that we express this love and gratitude and thanksgiving to You from the depths of our hearts, that it's genuine, that we're not just repeating these words because it's in the text, but we truly, truly worship You for these reasons and millions more. And that we give praise to You because Your mercy does endure forever. Oh Lord, receive our worship through the proclamation of Your word now. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would speak through me to encourage Your church, to glorify Christ and to edify this body. That we would be reminded of all we have to be thankful for. For the glory of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. George Washington, a first president of the United States in 1789, proclaimed a holiday to be held and observed for the sole purpose of expressing thanks to God, thanking God for the land that he had brought this people to. And in 1863, the President Abraham Lincoln made it an annual observance. This is something we need to do every year. 1941. Start getting into the 20th century, it sounds more recent and more current, doesn't it? 1941, the United States Congress fixed the observance of this national holiday as the fourth Thursday of November. And by God's grace, we continue to observe that as a nation. We celebrate what we call Thanksgiving Day. Businesses are closed. Banks are closed. Offices are closed. People have a holiday. They spend time at home, hopefully with family and friends and loved ones. Observing this day of Thanksgiving. Now, what they're thankful for, again, I don't know. Some people are thankful for a good turkey. I'm thankful for that. But that's not the heart of my celebration, and that's not the heart of what I'm truly thankful for. This is almost a pause section. We're stepping out of John's gospel, and I can look out, and we got a lot of people out today. We got a lot of empty seats here today, but that's okay because this is a small setting, and I think this is a type of message I can communicate better with a small group of people, just to simply remind you of all the blessings that God has given us. Folks, we've got so much to be thankful for. Now, some of you are going through hardships. Dennis is still in rehab recovering. Linda's not here with us today. I'm sure Dennis would much rather be at home. It would be easy for him to forget all he has to be thankful for. Some of you've had surgeries. Some of you are facing surgeries in the coming weeks. Procedures, doctor's visits, job situations. There's all sorts of things going on in our lives. But in spite of all that, we have so much to be thankful for. We never could have asked for all the blessings that God has given us. Things that we take for granted every day. Think about that. We take for granted that we're going to get up and dress ourselves and tie our shoes. There's some people down there where Dennis is doing his therapy. I bet they would give anything if they could bend over and tie their shoe. We take our health for granted. We take the blessings of life for granted. We'll spend eternity praising God for all his many, many blessings. I mean, what we're doing here today and while we're on this earth, whether you live to be 10 or 110, this is just a warm-up. This is just getting us ready for what we're going to be doing throughout eternity, praising God, worshiping God, thanking God, and all the blessings of life that we've received and observed here and all the blessings that we will have, that God has in store for us throughout eternity. We'll spend eternity giving God thanks. And I want to pause just a moment to let you do that now. Just in preparation for what's going to take place. Is there anybody that'd be willing? I'll bring the microphone out to you to make sure everybody can hear you. Something you want to thank God for this morning. Anybody? Don't be bashful. Okay, can you go first? You hand the mic off to the next person.
I'm thankful for our church family. I've had a lot of help from them, different ones on our house of getting us in it, and it wouldn't be possible without their love for us. And thankful for my wife who hasn't killed me over the past year while we built a house.
It's always a great blessing. Yeah, always a good. Anybody
thankful for?
That you'd be thankful when you get her house finished. Yeah. Are there anybody else, a testimony or something you want to share that you're just something you're thankful for? I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I did want to give you that opportunity. Anybody?
We're Baptist Presbyterians, Frozen Chosen.
We are. We're sitting mighty still this morning, okay? I think they're all full. They're somber. Nate, he's got something on the tip of his tongue.
Yeah, I'm also thankful for our church community and for the fellowship and community that we have here, and that more so than at other churches I've been to, there seems to be an interest in living life together and spending time with each other. And
okay.
I appreciate that greatly.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a word they want to share? Just something you're thankful for that you'd share with your brothers and sisters. Again, we're going to spend eternity thanking God. It's something you want to thank him for this morning.
I don't need a microphone, but I'm thankful for our pastor and his lovely wife.
I'm thankful for his wife too. Yeah, she's put up with me a long time, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Miss Dot, what you got there?
Well, we're thankful, and I know I'm very thankful for us being back to this church again after 36 years.
Okay.
And like he said, y'all are loving family, and we just feel so comfortable here, and we know God put us back here.
Amen.
And we're thankful for our own family, so we got to spend time with them over Thanksgiving, which we hadn't in a while.
That's good.
So I'm very thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Word of testimony or something you're thankful for this morning? Okay.
I'm thankful for the opportunity that God gave me to work with these singers that sang for us today.
Okay. Amen. God has blessed us. Thankful. Okay. Wayne, did you have something you want to thank God for?
I did. I am thankful for daily provisions that God provides, everything that we need. I thank him for the strength to get up, and I can still kind of tie my shoes, but not very well.
Okay.
And I thank him for my salvation.
Amen.
That he's not only been our provider and our counselor, our savior, our companion, and everything that we have needed, because our needs are great, but he is greater.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Any others? Hannah, will you hand that to Jeff and just let him hold it back there? Thank you. I appreciate those. And I know there's a testimony in everybody's heart, and there's something in everybody's heart here that you're thankful for. We're all grateful for our salvation. Edwina just stole my sermon, so we can pray, observe the Lord's Supper, and we'll be dismissed. But there's so much to be thankful for. And certainly, I know it's in our heart of hearts, and it sounds sometimes almost like a cliche. Well, you know I'm thankful for my salvation. Well, no, we need to express it. We do need to say it. We need to express that we are thankful for the fact that God has delivered us. He's saved us and redeemed us. So it's not that anything else is less important. But in all things, give thanks to the Lord. We see in our text today in Psalm 136, a time when the psalmist called for all of God's people to offer praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And in addition to the many things that we've mentioned here this morning, in this psalm, there's many reasons that God's people have to be thankful for. This is a call to worship. It's a call to praise and to thank God. And of all the psalms, this is one that really stands out to me because, again, the people are echoing that sentiment, for his mercy endures forever. And everything the psalmist writes in the stanzas, they're echoing, for his mercy endures forever. Again, they read it aloud. People echoed this truth. And what I want to do this morning as I read through these verses, I don't want you to repeat that phrase again as we read through it the first time, but I'm going to point out the things that the psalmist is telling the people that they should be thankful for. And I want you to think about our Thanksgiving Day. Are we thankful for the things that the psalmist points out that are vitally important for us to be thankful for? Compare our praise and thanksgiving today with this Old Testament passage, this Old Testament Jewish song that the people sang, giving reasons to give thanks to the Lord. Notice first of all the call to thanksgiving in verses 1 through 3. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods." Verse 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." Again, the psalmist here is calling the people to a time of praise. He's calling them to a time of thanksgiving. He says at the beginning of each verse, in verses 1 through 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And notice who he calls them to give praise to: the Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of gods, verse 2. The Lord of lords, verse 3. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The great I am. He's not calling them to praise their kings or their political leaders or their military leaders. He's not calling them to give thanks and praise to King David even, as great as a king as he was for the nation of Israel, but he calls them to give thanks to the Lord himself. And we can learn so much from just that alone. It's a call to thanksgiving, and sometimes we forget and we thank the wrong people when we should be thanking God for things. I'm thankful for my family. But you know who gave you that family? God. Did you thank Him? I thank my brothers and my sisters, my children, my grandchildren. But who am I thanking for those people? We should be thanking God. You know, we talk about living in America, the home of the free, the land of the brave, and the home of the free, and all those things, and what a great nation America is, and we're the greatest nation in the world. Who are we thanking for that? Who established us? Who preserved us? Oh, we can give credit to George Washington, to Abraham Lincoln, to our military leaders. And in serving our nation, we should thank our veterans. We do that. But ultimately, who should we thank? If America is the greatest nation on earth, who do we have to give thanks for? Who can we attribute that to? God raises up kingdoms, the Bible says, and God brings down kingdoms. So if we're living in the greatest land in the world, who should we thank? Not a Democrat, not a Republican, no one in the White House. But if you are living under this freedom of this nation, you should thank God. And that's what he's calling the people of Israel to do. Call to thanksgiving. Thank the Lord, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. You're doing well in your job. You've established a business and you've worked hard and you've, by the sweat of your brow, have built up and established a business where you provide for your family and you can pass down to generations that follow you. Who are you going to thank for that? I've done this by the sweat of my brow. You're going to pat yourself on the back and give yourself thanks for the fact that you have two lungs that function, that makes you to breathe, and a heart that beats, and a mind to think with, and arms and joints and ligaments and bones and muscles that enables you to work. In other words, I'm talking about your health. Without your health, without your being, without your creation, you wouldn't have any job. You wouldn't be able to provide for your family. We can thank God that He's provided that opportunity and given you that opportunity. Thank God. The call to thanksgiving is to thank the Lord of lords, the God of gods. Again, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even after our salvation as Christians, as God's people, you know, we still fall short. Has anybody reached that level of sinless perfection? Please don't raise your hand and say you have. Because none of us have, and we never will. We continue to sin, but guess what? This God that He's calling us to worship, this God that He's calling us to give thanks to, it says His mercy endures forever. Towards His people, you've been forgiving, but I still sin. But guess what? He's a God of mercy. And He forgives you again. And He cleanses you again. His mercy endures forever. This is a call to give thanks and praise to God. And I hope you've heard that biblical call. And I hope you're giving God the thanks and praise that He deserves as His people today. And not mistakenly thanking someone else when you should be thanking God. Or thanking yourself when you should be thanking God. The psalmist never calls attention to himself. He never says, thank me for such a wonderful psalm that I'm writing. Thank me for all my skills and all my abilities. But he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. That's the direction of the call to worship. The call or the thanksgiving should be to God, not ourselves. Notice, secondly, the reason for thanksgiving. Verses 4 through 9, actually 4 through 22, the reasons for thanksgiving. This answers the question of why. Why do we praise God? You know, humanistic thinking and those without the Lord, those who have never been saved, those who have never come to know Christ, the atheist who denies that a God exists, they would say, why do you thank God? Why do you Christians thank God for anything? Again, I've worked, I've earned, I've labored, I've done everything by the sweat of my brow and by my own hand. So why should I thank God for anything? I've done this on my own. I don't need God. And there's lost people all around us living lives like that. They don't even acknowledge God's presence. They don't even not acknowledge that God exists. And they thank themselves for being such a good person, or such a hard-working person, or for being so lucky, and they never enter God into the picture, that we should thank God for these blessings. Why do we thank God? Well, in verses 4 through 9, he talks about thanking God for his creation. Notice what he says. To him alone who does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon and the stars to rule by night. He's talking about God's creativity. He's talking about the creation account. Thank God we're not here by random chance. Thank God we're not here just waiting to evolve into some higher state of life. We're not apes. We didn't originate out of some type of pond slime. We're created in God's image, and we should be thankful for that. When was the last time you said, God, thank you for making me in your image? You know, you got that old dumb dog at home that ain't got enough sense to get in out of the rain. God, thank you you didn't make me like that. And you think, there's some people in my family who are probably like that. But you're a human being created in God's image. We should be thankful for that. What hope would you have if we were here by random chance? What meaning would life hold? None. There would be no meaning to life. If we're just evolving as people and you look around and you see all the things that are happening, well, this is just random chance. Boy, wasn't that lucky. Boy, I sure was glad I had two eyes and two ears. I'm glad I have two arms. Well, wasn't I lucky that I evolved to this state that I have evolved to? And some people would even say, I'm so thankful that there was this big bang that threw all these things into existence. The psalmist says, thank the Lord for his creativity. He does great wonders. It's by his wisdom he made the heavens. He laid out the earth above the waters. He made the sun, he made the moon, he made the stars. You won't find a shred of evidence in anywhere in God's word to support the lie. We call it the theory, but I say the lie of evolution. Well, some have tried to make it seem that way, but you won't find that anywhere in Scripture. We're not here by random chance. We're here by design, by God's design. And as the psalmist points out, the great wonders that he's done, the wisdom that God used in creation, we should be thankful for that. God, you've thought all this out. You laid out all the laws of nature, all the laws of science or physics or whatever you want to bring up. God has developed and designed all of these things down to the most minute detail of our created being and our own bodies, in the earth and the atmosphere, and things like if we're one fraction of a foot closer or an inch closer to the sun, we melt. The earth couldn't exist. If it's one inch further away from the sun, it freezes. No life would exist. But God created and God designed all of these things, and he created his most unique creation of all human beings. Let us make them male and female. In our image, and we were designed that way, we should thank God for that. We should be thanking God. His mercy endures forever. He created us. He didn't leave us out there to fend for ourselves even after he created us, but he created us in his image. What a blessing, what a privilege, and how that should impact how we treat others, even the lost, even those who don't know Christ. And our attitude and our mentality towards our families and our friends and our relatives, and again, the stranger that doesn't know God, they too were created in his image, though they've marred that image because of their sin. Why thank God? The reason for thanksgiving? First of all, for his creation. Secondly, for his deliverance. Look in verse 10. This is something we could never, never, never grow weary of thanking God for. Thanking him for his deliverance. Notice what he points out to these Israelites. To him, speaking of God, who struck Egypt in their firstborn. You remember what took place there when we went through the book of Exodus. Verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the sea. He's reminding the people of Israel how God delivered them from their Egyptian bondage. They had so long endured. They were slaves. They were mistreated. They were abused. They were hated. They were destroyed. They were murdered. They were tortured. They were beaten. But God was kind and God was merciful, and He heard their cries and He answered their prayers and He delivered them miraculously in a way that could only be attributed to God, so they couldn't say, boy, we sure were lucky to escape from Pharaoh. No, God sent signs. He sent miracles. He sent plagues, verifying His goodness, verifying His delivering hand on His people. They were delivered. And the psalmist is calling the people to remember those things and thank God for that deliverance. Brothers and sisters, let me remind you, you've been delivered. As a Christian, you've been delivered. God delivered you. You were in bondage. You were a slave. You say, I'm an American. I've never been a slave. You're saying the same thing that the Pharisee said to Jesus. We're sons of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. You were a slave to sin. You were in a worse way than the Egyptians, than the Israelites were in Egypt. And God delivered you from that darkness into His marvelous light. Colossians 1, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the sons of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. This word delivered means rescued from danger. You were in danger. You were hanging over the pits of God's wrath and the fiery flames of God's wrath. You were hanging over by a slender thread. You faced eternal punishment. You were deserving of death. You were deserving of wrath. You were in darkness, but yet God delivered you from the judgment to come. She gave the testimony, I thank God for my salvation. I thank God that He saved me. You ever considered thanking God for the fact that He literally saved you? That's why we use the word. It's not just because it's a Bible-sounding word. You were saved. What must I do to be saved? Saved from what? From the wrath of God. From the very judgment of a holy, righteous God who will not allow sin to go unpunished. And that's each and every one of us that has received Christ. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. It's coming, folks. People don't want to talk about it. It's Thanksgiving. We don't want to mar our Thanksgiving celebration by thinking about judging and God judging the world, or judgment coming upon people in eternal punishment. In wrath, where their fire is not quenched, their worm never dies. But you've been delivered from that. You've been delivered. You've been set free from that bondage. You've been taken from darkness and into the marvelous light of God. Have you thanked Him for that lately? God, thank You for saving me from Your judgment. Thank You for saving me from Your wrath. We say God saved us from hell. Yes, He saved us from hell. What is hell? It's God's judgment. So I say, God, thank You for saving me from the wrath that You will righteously pour on this world and every single individual who has rejected Your Son, Jesus Christ. You've delivered me from that wrath. When was the last time you just, in just your own words, thank God for saving you from that wrath, that judgment that is certain to come? Well, thirdly, He gives a reason for thanksgiving. He says you should thank Him for His creation, for His deliverance. Thank Him for His provision. Look in verse 16. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. Now, He's talking about delivering them from the Egyptian bondage. And He goes on and continues the narrative of how God took care of them and provided them after they were delivered. To them who led His people through the wilderness, verse 17, to Him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon of the Amorites and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, His servant. God met all their needs. He provided for them protection from all their enemies, delivered them into the promised land. They never lacked for anything. They never did without. God provided for them the whole time for 40 years in the wilderness. Water from a rock, manna from heaven. Their feet never outgrew their shoes. They never wore out their shoes, in other words. God provided them the provisions of life. Thank Him for His provision. Abraham took Isaac under the direction of God to offer him as a sacrifice, Caden. What happened? He raised a knife to sacrifice his son that he dearly loved, God testing his faith. But in obedience to God's command, he's going to obey God. And as he raises the knife to sacrifice his own son, God stops him, God prevents him, and God provides the lamb. God provides the sacrifice. What does he call the place, Gaden? Jehovah Jireh. The Lord Jehovah provides. The Lord provides. Never lacking for anything. Even the sacrifice that God himself required, God provides that sacrifice. The same is true today. Oh, God will meet our needs. Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your need according to those riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that God's your genie in a bottle. And it doesn't mean you're going to get everything that you want, that you selfishly desire. That's where the health and wealth and prosperity gospel preachers go way, way astray. He's not a genie in a bottle. But it does mean that he will provide for those. It does mean that he's the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he will provide all the needs of his people. And it may come in ways or forms that we don't recognize it being God. But God will provide. Think about it. What are you lacking this morning? Everyone here, I don't see anyone naked. Now, it was cold outside, and I've seen practically everyone come in with a coat on. No one's naked. Everybody has the warmth of clothing. I know there's hunger in people's lives, and there's some people who will not get in a month what each of us have had since Thursday. And I've had my share. And I'm not boasting in that. I'm just saying I've eaten plenty. I've not done without anything. Just in a four-day period. More than what some people will have in a month. God has provided for his people. God has provided for his church. We have the access to food and the basic necessities of life. We're not living in a third world country. You say, well, what about those people? We'll deal with those people later. Right now we're talking about our hearts and the gratitude that should be in our hearts that we're not living in a third world country where we don't have anything to eat. Because we all do, don't we? So I'm asking you, have you thanked God for his provision? Because God has provided for us abundantly all things. The greatest need we have is not another plate of turkey. And I've had plenty of that since Thursday. Have y'all? Homemade bread. That's my downfall, bread. All of those things. I was hungry. I had a need. God provided. But the greatest need I had, the greatest need I had was to get me out of that darkness and into light. The greatest need I had was to be forgiven. Of all my possessions, no matter what I have, no matter how healthy and well my family is and all the great times we get to spend together, the greatest need I had was to be delivered out of the darkness and into the light of God, to be forgiven by his grace. And in order for that to happen, just like with Abraham and Isaac, there had to be a sacrifice. I had to be forgiven. And I couldn't forgive myself. And I couldn't sacrifice myself. But God provided. Jehovah Jireh on Calvary's cross, God provided an atonement for my sins and for your sins if you've been forgiven. If you have by faith received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Something that we all should be thankful for is the provision of God. Not just the material possessions, not just the physical provisions of our clothing and our food, but more than anything, the spiritual provision that God provides for his people to be forgiven of their sins. So the reason for thanksgiving is his deliverance, his creation, his provision. And then notice thirdly the summary of thanksgiving. The summary of thanksgiving, verse 23. He summarizes, he brings it to a close. He's talking about God, and the entire psalm is about God and how his mercy endures forever. And again, he points out God, who remembered us in our lowly state, who rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh, who gives thanks to the God, give thanks to the God of heaven. Three things he points out specifically in these verses that should encourage God's people to thank and praise him. Number one, thank him for remembering us in verse 23, remembering us in our lowly state. Verse 24, rescuing us from our enemies. Verse 25, providing food to all flesh. Let me read them again and remind you of His promises to the Christians today from the New Testament for these very things that we should be thanking Him for. Verse 23 says, we should be thanking Him who remembered us in our lowly state. Ephesians 2, you who He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Romans 5, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He remembered you. He knew you. He knew your need. He knew the desperate state you were in. But He made you alive who were dead. He made you alive. He breathed life into your nostrils. He gave you life in His Son, Jesus Christ. He remembered us. He didn't leave us in Egypt. He didn't leave us in our state of spiritual death. He remembered us. And secondly, verse 24, He rescued us from our enemies. 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He rescues you from that death. Verse 25, who gives food to all flesh. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. John 6, as we saw just recently a few weeks ago, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I just want to close before we work our way towards the Lord's table by reminding us, folks, for all of these things and billions of other things, we've got so much to be thankful for. More than we'll ever know, more than we'll ever be able to list. If we talk about count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you've heard preachers and pastors and writers say before, write your blessings down. When you're having a bad day and things are going bad, start making a list of all the things that you're thankful for. And if you were to do that, you would never exhaust the list. I pray that you would never run out of things to give thanks to God for. We'll never be able to fully thank God for all that He's done, just in our salvation, in all the law that He fulfilled in His Son Jesus Christ, in dying for us and being our perfect sacrifice and shedding His blood to forgive us for every single sin that we've ever committed and ever will commit as His church. The death of Jesus Christ for the sins of His people is something we'll never exhaust thanking God for. And I think that's what the psalmist is emphasizing here. Thank Him, praise Him. It should be never ending for the child of God. His mercy endures forever, it says. And so should our praise and our thanksgiving to Him. So easy to get caught up in this world and to start living life and enjoying the blessings. And pretty soon we're enjoying so many blessings that we're forgetting to thank the one who gives those blessings. But maybe at this time, for this Thanksgiving, for 2023, from this day forward, we can start moving forward with the mentality or attitude as God's people of being people of thanks daily. And remembering some of these things that we sometimes take for granted. Oh, we may not mean to. And we can stand before God and say, I didn't mean to be ungrateful. But we live lives, if we're honest sometimes, lives that were ungrateful, not giving God thanks, not giving God glory where glory is due, not giving Him praise and thanksgiving for the daily blessings of life, from the air we breathe to the provisions of life, and ultimately and mainly more than anything else for the forgiveness of our sins. Not a day should go by in our lives we do not thank God for saving us from the wrath to come. So how do we do that daily? We spend time in His Word. We spend time praying. We spend time reading, meditating on His truths. Just in our thoughts as we're driving down the road, thinking of God and the goodness. Turn the radio off and think of God and the goodness of His hand and what He's done for us. Living this day forward, moving forward, thanking God for these things that we sometimes take for granted. Participating in an ordinance in obedience to His Word. That God has sent His Son to die for us. And Jesus, on the night that He was arrested, said, this is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat. This is my blood of the new covenant that was shed for you. And the Bible says that every time we do these things, we're testifying, we're proclaiming his death until he returns. So we thank God today by participating in this sacred ordinance. And I want to invite you, if you're a believer in Christ, whether you're a member of this church or a non-member, if you've by faith received Christ, this is open to you. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you not to partake of the elements as they are distributed. But in a way of giving God praise and in a way of giving God thanks for the greatest thing that he's done, for the greatest person being that he is, obeying his word and participating in this ordinance, giving thanks to him that he righteously deserves. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, as